Close communion. All of them still wouldn't take anybody that didn't have scriptural baptism. So I got a pretty good dose of that. So what I'm going to talk about different things tonight on this is something that I think is important. Okay. Matthew 16:6-25. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And picture yourself back at that time. You only know what John the Baptist has taught you. You only know what God's Holy Spirit has led you to. All these men that God called out, they were looking for the kingdom. And when they heard what John was preaching, he was preaching the kingdom of God. So they went there, they got saved, they got baptized. And then Jesus called them out, and he began to teach them. So, put yourself in their place. And how much scripture they had, and how much teaching they had, and realize that Jesus had to teach them an awful lot. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, Jesus said, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He said, beware of them. He wasn't telling them, stay away from them, don't have anything to do with them, don't be nice to them. He wasn't telling them that at all. He said, beware of the leaven. And some of them, I'm sure, were very nice fellows. They had very nice wives. They had very nice children. And they were very generous. And some of them were just what you would call good old Joes. And so here's what they said after he told them that, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. So Jesus had to teach them how to have faith in him alone. And then later on, he had to teach them that he was God. And he did have to do all that. And he was God, and he did have a lot of teaching. And when you first got saved, you went through the same procedure, except the Master had been here. And since the Master had been here, then the Master had very conveniently told you and proved to you that he was God. And it was a lot easier for them to accept it. But they still had a lot of trouble with the people they taught. He said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves? Because ye have brought no bread. Do you not understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? He had just done this wonderful miracle, just like when he whisked them into the boat. They got out in the middle of the lake in another episode. And they were just scared to death and saw him walking on water. Well, they saw him walking on water. They saw him produce the miracle of the 5,000. Now, the question that we have to look at is ourselves. Well, I've enjoyed where I grew up. I enjoyed my grandparents raising me. I enjoyed hunting. I enjoyed fishing. I enjoyed all that stuff. I was having a great time. I was just starting to notice girls. And it was a wonderful time in my life. And so I didn't have any problem with anything, you know. So when it came time to teach me all this stuff, I had solved the major problem, or I should say God had. I got saved. Well, after that, church just became something I went to out of a sense of duty to God. And half the time I sat there looking at my watch. I had a watch. And wondering when he's going to quit talking. Because I had some things I wanted to do. Of course, none of you all ever did that. Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up. How is it that you do not understand that I spake unto you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? So we've had 3 different heretics come through here. And they had families, and they came through here. Well, one of them, let's see. Yeah, they had families, all 3 of them. And we had another one that came over here, single. And I ran them off. I ran them off because they were nice. I didn't have a problem with them. They were friendly people. But they were heretics. And they were already, two of the families were already teaching people over in their homes their false doctrine. They taught creek baptism, one group. The other group came over here. I had forgotten about them. They'd been run off from churches in Tennessee, and they'd come over here at Russellville. They tried all the other churches over there, and they didn't want them either. So when they come over here, I just told them after service, and I walked down the aisle and told them. I said, I know your history. I said, you're welcome to come down this aisle, but I said, I'm going to tell them everything about you. And man, they got out of here like a sack of rats. You said, well, God will get you for that. Well, he never made me feel bad about it. And one of the guys came back from the group after they'd all left, and he said, brother, I want to thank you for saying that. So apparently he decided to pull out of the bunch, so it was worth something. Lord, there was more of them. I don't put up with it. You say, well, why not? Because when somebody starts teaching heresy in the church, you got a big, bad, serious problem. Because some of the nicest people in the world you'll ever meet are heretics. I know. They tried to convert me. I know. Then understood they how he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the scribes. When Jesus, see, here's the problem. People don't believe there's a devil. You say, oh, my brother doesn't believe there's a devil. You say, well, I believe there's a devil. Well, do you believe he's capable of what Jesus said he was capable of? I do. And I guarantee you, he hates every one of you. And he would do anything he could to pull you out of this church. He don't want somebody that's out on the outer fringe. He'll take them. Somebody that's already half pseudo-Christian. But he does not want you out of the church. He doesn't want me out of the church. And he wants to do something to make you all look bad. And so it's just, there is a devil. There is a God. Well, you've got an advantage over the devil because you've got the God working in you. For it is God which worketh in you both the willing to do of his good pleasure. And every time he starts island hopping on you, the devil, he wants to devour you whole. And if he ever gets you hooked and you get mad at somebody in the church, you'll go somewhere else. It may be the pastor. It may be the deacon. It may be the treasurer. It may be a cooney. It may be any one of you. It may be anybody in the church they get mad at. And they get so mad, they say, we'll just go somewhere else. Well, let them go somewhere else. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he said, when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, okay, Ken, you've been to Caesarea Philippi. And I've been there. Everybody that went on any of those trips went there. I took them there deliberately. There is a huge mountain, cleft of rock, that goes way straight up in the air. You think you could climb that thing? It'd be hard, but you probably could, but it goes straight up. And down at the bottom of it, it's got a little brook that runs out of the bottom of the cave. It runs out, and it's run out for so long, it's nice, pure water. And it's run over, the pebbles have come out of the mountain, you know, and they're down in the bottom of the little riverbed. And you can get out of it, it's perfectly clear water, you can drink it. And you can wade across it back and forth. And I remember how thrilled Leonard was. He got in there and started getting some rocks out of it, some little pebbles. They were just little pebbles. They were that type of a mountain. You say it's Petra, which means a huge cleft of rock. And brother, if you ever seen this thing, you wouldn't believe how big it is. I'm gonna bring it over and show it to you. And so when Jesus got up to that place, would you scoot this over here a little closer, Mike? Just kind of put it on over here a little more, so. Okay, this is a bomb. Yeah. Get you, Lisa. No. Then I'll be left alone with Mike. Lord, no. Okay. Yeah. Now, way on up here, this is Mount Hermon. And we went up on top of this Mount Hermon. And down in here is the general things of Damascus right in through here. All this is Syria. Over here is Lebanon. Now, I took them up this highway, and we went up the coastline till we got to Caesarea. Now, but this is Caesarea Philippi up here. So to go to Caesarea Philippi, we took off up through here. We went on way up through here. We went on around the Sea of Galilee. We went on up to here. Then we went up to Caesarea Philippi. But Caesarea Philippi, when you get to it, there is this huge cleft of rock. It's Petra. You say, did you have to fudge to say that? Petra. It's a Petra. It's a Petra. That's it. And down underneath it, out of the bottom of it, were these nice little round pebbles that have come out, you know. And they're all nice and round because anytime you get water, that pebbles that rub around, they're nice and smooth. That's why David went down to that little creek, got him some nice smooth pebbles. And when it hit him in that forehead up here, it didn't have a bunch of little tiny crevices that part of his brain could go into. It just went thudding right on into the hard part of it. They're the best kind of rocks for slings. Now, when we went on up in here, and I showed him this, I said, that's Petra. I explained to him from these scriptures we're using. And I said, now this is Petros. Petros is a little pebble, a little rock. And what he said to Peter was extremely significant. Most people don't realize that Jesus didn't just walk around with his hands tied around the side of him and said, now if you look straight ahead and four clicks to your left, there is a Petra. He had his hands he could use. And he pointed to all this stuff. It's not nice to point. Well, it is nice to point. See, that's some of that culture back there that was misleading people. What we got a lot of that today. So they went on up there. And sure enough, we went in that thing. And there it was. It was beautiful. That's just exactly where he stood. You say, how do you know he stood right there? Because Caesarea Philippi was not a large town. And we were standing right there in the middle of the town, and it didn't go out very far. And it was all kind of built with the idea of this Petra cliff and the pebbles being the attraction, main attraction in the city. You could drink the water. So when he got up there, and there that was, I said, there it is. And then I read this scripture to him, and I talked to him about it while we stood there. It was crystal clear what it meant. There's not a doubt in my mind what it meant. I went to the seminary. I did not know the Greek language. And our preachers back there up in the boonies where I was, they didn't take a whole lot of time to go to the seminary for two reasons. First of all, when I was a young man, we didn't have one. And secondly, some of them called it the cemetery instead of the seminary. And so there were a lot of reasons for that. He said, when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, now remember this is the coast of it. It's just north of the little way up there, just north of the Sea of Galilee. And any time you had a little kind of a lake there, and there was a little tiny lake up there. They've drained it since. And they drained it in my lifetime. But that was the thing that he was talking about. And there was this thing where I showed him. He said, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I am? Why would Jesus have to ask them? He already knew. Jesus taught by example. Jesus would ask them a question to get them to understand what he was trying to teach them. That is the normal way of teaching in Israel, and it also used to be the normal way of teaching in Europe. But it is the normal way of teaching. And the guides I had over there, they all used it, particularly old Pitch. He really used it a lot. And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, are one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? You think he didn't know that Peter was going to ask him? The little pebble was going to ask him. And the little pebble was standing right there, and he was looking up at that great big Petra. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know what? I believed that when I got saved. All those disciples were saved. You didn't have to have a great knowledge of him. You didn't have to understand all the stuff that we commonly think that they had to understand. They didn't start understanding that stuff till Jesus ascended into heaven and came back as the Holy Spirit, part fulfilling the office of the Holy Spirit. And there he was teaching them, just as plain as day. So they all were genuinely saved by the same Christ, the Son of the living God. They believed that I was saved by. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. Notice he called him by his father's name. Now, he had another name. His name was Petros, a little pebble. And God gave him that name. And when we get to heaven, he says, we're going to get a new name. I wouldn't be surprised if it wasn't something along that line. But I don't know what my new one's going to be. We may have a bad Michael and a good Michael. I don't know. And a mediocre Michael. And Jesus answered and said, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee. Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee. When I was a boy, they didn't emphasize all that much that Jesus was a man. And Jesus was a perfect man. And he was also the only God. And he was the Son of God. He said, For flesh and blood hath not revealed thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Petros. And upon this Petra, upon this great cliff of rock. They were standing there looking at it. They knew exactly what he meant. He probably pointed, but they didn't really have to. He didn't have to. He said, and they were there. They were looking at that rock. You say, I'm sure. Man, it was a mountain. It wasn't a great big mountain like Mount Everest or something like that. And he said, Thou art Petros. He said, you're a little pebble. There was the little pebbles coming out of the bottom of it. And upon this rock, he said, upon this Petra, I will build my church. He didn't build the church on Peter. He built it on the rock. He was the great Petra. And he built it on himself. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Absolutely. Now, what would happen if a church held on till Jesus came and didn't compromise and all of them had their heads chopped off? Well, it's going to be a spiritual kingdom, isn't it? So that would be a pretty good church. But people have a lot of fear in them. I know. I've been through two wars. I was scared to death. He said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee. He said, now I'm going to give this to you, Peter, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Okie dokie. He gave them to Peter. He was a little pebble, wasn't he? Where'd that little pebble come from? He came off the great cleft, off the Petra. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then he says something quite amazing. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man he was Jesus the Christ. Wasn't time yet. Everything that God did was measured perfectly. Didn't make one single error in the way he did it. For all things work together for good to them that love God, those that love his appearing, to those that are the chosen of God. It's all there in the scripture. Now, Peter's down south in Jaffa. And there's a bunch of centurions up there, Romans, not Jews, Romans. And they're up there and they're assembled together and they're Gentiles and classified as Gentiles. And they have a captain over them, centurion. They're soldiers. And God has moved on their hearts. And they believe that he's the Messiah. They believe it. And they're up there and they're meeting. And so they Peter has a dream. When they get just at the right place up here, all things working together for good with these Italians, Jesus gives Peter a dream. And Peter's there. You say, well, wait a minute now. All these dreams of the old men are not supposed to come. Listen, do you know what it says in the last days? Old men shall dream dreams and visions. Do you know that that refers to the whole New Testament era? So don't worry about that part of it. And so he says, old men shall dream dreams. Peter has a dream. God gave it to him. He sees all kind of, he's asleep and he sees all these unclean animals, you know, kind of different kind of snakes, different kind of hogs, different kind of everything. Ah! Their hoofs aren't divided right or anything else. Ah! That's a horrifying thing to a Jew. He's laying there, you know, and he wakes up. Scares the fire out of him. Everything he saw on that was unclean. So he dozes back off again. And here comes that big sheet thing with all these unclean animals. Horrifying. Finally, the Lord keeps him awake. And he tells Peter, he said, do not classify these things as unclean. And he told him that he would be ordered to a place. And guess what happened? During that same time span, Cornelius up there had had some thoughts from God. And he sent a messenger down there and told, I guess him in a way that a Gentile tells a Jew, that he wants him, that his God wants him to come up there. And so up goes Peter. And he gets up there. And Peter sizes up the situation. And he sees the Holy Spirit fall upon them. Just like they did at Pentecost. They fall on them. Peter brought a bunch of guys from the Jerusalem church up there with him. They see all this. And Peter turns around to them and says, can any man forbid water that they should not be baptized even as we? They had been baptized by the Holy Ghost. They had seen it. None of them objected. And for the first time, Peter used those keys to open the door to the Gentiles. Now, Paul is the one that went and preached to them. But he used the little pebble off of the great mountain that he was. And the little pebble himself was the one who opened the door. And the scriptures tell us that whatsoever shall be ordained in the church shall already have been bound in heaven. Think about that. You say, Brother McElmurray, are you certain? Yes, I am. And I've taught it here when I first came here. And then I just said, okay, I'm just going to drop that for a while, but I do believe that. And I say it to thee that thou art Peter, upon this rock, not Peter, but the Petra and the little pebble came from the great Petra, which was Jesus, who named him Peter, and who named the great cliff there the great cliff, Petra. You say, that's just a play on words. No, it's not. For all things work together for good to them that love God. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. He gave Peter the keys, the authority to open it, and the church voted, okay, yes. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. But only if it is first loosed in heaven. It has to be loosed in heaven. And all the church is doing is approving what God has already done in heaven. And sometimes the church approves things that are wrong. And when they do, God doesn't accept it. All power belongs to Him. It's been going on for a long time. Then charged He the disciples that they should tell no man until His disciples how that He must go into Jerusalem and to suffer many things of the disciples and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took Him and began to rebuke Him. You see how little Peter knew and how little we knew the night we got saved? Saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee." Then He turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense to me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Then said Jesus unto His disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself." You know what you've been going through most of your life? Denying yourself. That's what's been happening. That's what's been happening to me. We don't like to deny ourselves. You know, we like to have our way and then have God go our way after we decided it. And we get a little upset sometimes if God doesn't do it. You're looking at a man that's done this. I know what I'm talking about. It's the self-denial. And when you realize you're wrong about something, just admit it. And go on. And don't get mad about it. You know how to get a person real mad? Tell him something. Teach him something. He didn't even know it. And you violently disagree with it. Instead of talking to him about it, you get mad at him. I learned most of what I've learned that's right from people that I was wrong. And take up his cross. Who did Jesus deny? Himself. Bible says He emptied Himself in Philippians. He emptied Himself and took up His cross and He followed Himself. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the whole Godhead structure, He followed. He said, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it." A lot of people get saved. They waste the rest of it. They drop completely out of church. Don't tell me I don't know what I'm talking about. Good grief, after all these years, lots more people that joined the church, started out fine, were looking great and everything, but they just did not want to change themselves. They didn't want to let God change them. They were willing to change up to what they would agree to, but they wouldn't follow Him. The life of an overcomer is someone who realizes the only reason he can overcome is because Christ is in him. And if he doesn't follow Christ, and if he fails and doesn't confess it, so God can forgive him, for whosoever will save his life for himself shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. You're not here by accident, not a one of you. You are not here by accident. Not a one of you. And you're past the point of knowing the truth about the church, baptism, the Lord's Supper, and those things. Now it's time to start denying yourself what makes you feel good about living and start losing your life by following Christ and doing what He wants in your life. You say, "Well, I don't know what that is." Well, I will guarantee you that if you'll tell Him you want to do what He wants you to do and not expect Him to answer you in a dream or with a sign, one day it just dawns on you, "I can do this," then do it. Because that's what life's all about. And I've kept you 9 minutes over. So you just keep those other things. And I'll take the rest of it.
I'm going to leave this on the board.
Yeah. Please do. Because I had meant to go along there and show them a lot of stuff all up and down that Jordan River. But I'm going to get into a series where I show them, I've got a slides and everything, and I'm going to show them where these different places are and why they're named what they are and why they're built like they are and where the fault structures are and all that stuff. Okay.
You do good stuff.
Oh,